And let's get into the word of the Lord. Amen. If you take your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Mark, chapter number 5. And we'll start with verse number 21. And I'm going to preach to you a story that there is no doubt that every single person in here has heard before. It is probably one of the, you probably heard this scripture, this story preached about 3,000 times, and you will hear it today 3,001 times. I'm not going to preach it 3,001 times, but you will hear it one more time. You will get out a little bit early today. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 5, verse number 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And in verse 25, we see that there is an interruption in the story. The Bible says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She said, not if he touches me, but if I touch him. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Did anybody come to touch him today? Today I want to preach to you a very simple message, but a message that I feel like the Church of the Living God has got away from. Today, and he had no idea what I was preaching this morning, but he got up and he began to speak about faith. I don't know any issues that's happened here. I don't know the sicknesses. All I know is that I've seen lifted hands here that have needs. Today I want to preach to you from this subject, right now faith. Right now faith. I want us to pray one prayer in this building right now. I want us to lift our hands across this building, and I want us to pray, God, increase my faith in this service. Increase my faith in this service. God, you see every need. You see every situation. God, I believe, Lord, that there is wonder-working power in this building. Before you were called Wonderful Counselor or the Mighty God, you were called Wonderful and Full of Wonder. And I ask, God, that you would be wonderful in this service and allow your wonders, God, to sweep, God, from the left to the right. I give you the glory. I give you the honor. I give you the praise. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I do give honor to my pastor, Pastor Benjamin White, and my bishop, Bishop Douglas White. I count it an honor and a privilege to walk in the anointing that runs down from my headship, apostolic authority. I give honor to them today. Right now, faith. I'm going to start today by introducing you to a man by the name of Jairus. The Bible says that Jairus was a very important man. You may have heard the story about him before. If not, I'll give you a little background on him. The Bible says that Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. He was a very important man. He was the man that opened the doors. He was the man that was responsible for the synagogue. You've got to understand today, everybody knew who Jairus was. When they saw Jairus in town, they knew, well, he must be going out and getting a few things to stock locked up the synagogue. He must be getting a few things for the synagogue. Everybody that went to church in that day knew exactly who Jairus was. And you got to understand, the Bible says that one day, Jairus, being the ruler of the synagogue, comes and he has an issue. You got to understand today, I've seen a lot of hands that are raised in this building of the issues that are here. And if there's one thing I know about issues, is that issues have a way of putting us all on a level playing field. What do you mean, Brother Fish? What I mean is, when you have an issue, when you have a sickness, when the word cancer is mentioned, when diabetes is mentioned, when the diagnosis comes, God has a way of getting our minds off of our positions and getting our minds off of our businesses and how important we are in the church, or how important we are in the community. We get our minds off of our egos. We get our minds off of what people are going to think about us. Pride ceases to exist when that issue comes up. I've seen it a lot of times when the diagnosis comes into somebody's life, that there was a time in their life that they weren't a worshiper and they didn't want to come to church and they didn't want to get in touch with God. But as soon as the diagnosis came, we've seen it. They want to get their life right, and they want to get in touch with God. And I want to tell you today, that's exactly what happened with Jairus. Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, no doubt he had heard the teachings of Jesus. No doubt he dwelt among the Jews. No doubt he worshiped the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, Jehovah God. And we know that the Jews would later take Jesus to Calvary and put him on a cross. But Jairus was not worried about his race, and he was not worried about what the other Jews had to say. But on that day, all he knew is that he had an issue. He had a daughter that was dying at home. And the Bible said that Jairus takes off running, and he falls at the feet of Jesus. He falls at the feet of Jesus and says, "Jesus, I heard that you can heal. I haven't seen it for myself, but I've heard the testimonies of your power. And all I know is that I got an issue. I've got a daughter that's about to die, and I'm going to make my way to you. I don't care what everybody else says. I don't care what the hate say. I don't care what the rest of my family says. I've got an issue." If you've got an issue this morning, the best place you can end up is at the feet of Jesus. Jairus tells him the issue. "I've got a dying daughter. There's no hope. The doctors can't do anything. But Jesus, I know if you will just come down the road with me, if you will walk down the road with me to my house, and you will put your hand on the issue, you will lay your hand on my daughter, I know if you just come with me. Come with me, Jesus. Walk down the road with me, Jesus. I'm going to let you into my home. And I believe that you can raise my daughter from the dead." I don't know if you believe it, but I still believe that he's in the dead raising business. Jesus agrees to go and to heal the daughter of Jairus. And a crowd goes with them. The crowd travels because the crowd has seen what Jesus could do. The crowd travels because there was no question in the crowd's mind if God could do it. The crowd went with him because they wanted to see the show. I want to tell you, it still matters what the crowd thinks. And I'm preaching to the crowd today, but I wonder if the crowd still believes that Jesus can heal. Well, so Jairus says, Jesus, come down the road with me. It's what I call down the road faith. There is no doubt in my mind that Jairus could have laid at his feet and said, Jesus, speak the word. Speak the word and she'll rise. You don't even have to come. You don't have to go down the road. You got to understand today that a lot of times we don't see a quick work in our life from God because we got down the road faith. It's easy to believe that God can do it one day. It's easy to believe that God can heal your body one of these days. It's easy to believe that my family's coming back to church one of these days. It's easy to believe that my son or my daughter is going to put down the drugs and is going to find deliverance one of these days. It's easy to have down the road faith. But you got to understand, the Bible says that as Jairus is walking down the road and Jesus is going with them, the story shifts. In verse number 25, there is an interruption of Jairus' story. And the reason is because there is a certain woman with an issue of blood. We've heard it preached a lot, but you may not have knew that she interrupted somebody else's miracle. It wasn't just an issue that she had, though. It had been an issue for a very long time. 12 years to be exact. The Bible said that she had suffered many things of many physicians. She had spent all she had and nothing was better but rather grew worse. Meaning that now she has suffered the side effects of these experiments from these physicians and these medications that they didn't know would work or not. There's only a 10% chance, Miss Certain Woman, that this is going to work for you. And she said, well, I've came up with a few more dollars. I think that I'll pay for it because I've ran out of options. And the doctor says, all right, collects her money, collects the money for the food that she was going to buy. Oh, but then she leaves and she never finds freedom from the issue. There's a lot of times that we run to other things. We run to the physician and we run to the financial advisors and we run to other places. We run to the lawyer and things end up getting worse. Things, we end up suffering side effects in our world. She is a victim of not only the experiments, not only the medications, not only the surgeries, but she is a victim of the side effects. And one day news travels that Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. Jesus is on his way down the road. And this woman with the issue hears it. And now it doesn't even cross her mind that Jesus is tending to Jairus' issue. The only thing in her mind is that, you know what? I know that he's going down the road. But if I can get to Jesus before he makes his way all the way down the road,
If I can just touch him, not him touch me, but if I can make my way to him and I can press through, I can press through the crowd and I can press through the atmosphere and I can press through the pride and press through what other people are going to say about me. Maybe, just maybe, God can do it now. She's lost her dignity. She's lost her friends because she is marked as unclean. She has lost her resources and has nothing else to live for and nothing else to try. So she is not all worried about getting out of hand or getting in the way of somebody else. Get out of the way, Jairus. I've got an issue that I've got faith. God can do it right now, not tomorrow, not the end of the service, not later on, but I know that God can meet my need right now. It was now faith that she had. And I want to tell somebody, the reason we don't see miracles like we used to in Pentecost is because we got down the road faith and we come to an altar with our hands lifted saying, God, touch me, so that you can work this out later on down the road. Oh, but when we come up to an altar or we step out in the aisle and we lift our hands and say, God, I'm going to press through today and I'm going to get in touch with you because I know you can do it now. All of a sudden, the Almighty's eyes goes off the people that's going down the road. Somebody needs to interrupt the story today. Somebody needs to interrupt the story. You got a story. The doctor says it's going to go one way. The doctor said it's the first surgery of many surgeries. Hey, ma'am, in the back, I believe God wants you to interrupt the story tonight, this morning. You want to know why? Oh, because we can have down the road faith, but down the road faith hasn't got us anywhere. Oh, but when we stand up and start believing again that God can do it now, and he's the God of right now, we believe he's the God of yesterday. We believe he's the God of the future. But it's time for some of us apostolics to stand up and say, I believe he's the God of today. He's not just the God of tomorrow, but he holds today in his hands. And if he's holding the day in his hands, he can unleash healing and he can unleash miracles in this place. Oh, I don't know where you're at today, but I challenge you, get out in the aisle and interrupt the story. Interrupt your story. Interrupt your story. Why? Why? Because God is saying, oh, I'm walking down the road. I'm going to fix this 10 years from now. Oh, but if you interrupt the story, maybe, just maybe, I'll come and visit you. Hey, yeah, somebody's interrupting the story right now. I still got plenty to preach, but my message doesn't matter when the miracle worker steps in. You know why? Because when you get out of your seat and you get in the aisle and you focus your mind on God, God says, you know what? I've come with a word, but the word has been given. Now it's time for me to connect with your faith. Anybody still believe in miracles? I was preaching in Maryville, Louisiana. I'm done preaching. I was preaching in Maryville, Louisiana, and there was a man standing on the back row. I'm going to tell you what God can do in this place today. There was a man that was standing on the back row.
He was holding his stomach, and he was pretty much in the floor in such pain. What I did not know, I went there to preach that day. But that man had just been sent home to die. Call the family in. You're dying. You've got an aneurysm in your stomach that we can't touch. Surgery won't fix it. We can't do it. He didn't have down the road faith. You want to know why? Because his issue, with his issue, he would have never made it down the road. He walked in that day, Maryville, Louisiana. Oh, and he lifted his hands and he said, God, I need you. We laid hands on him and he left there that night. He went back to the doctor and they said, sir, I know we left you with a bad report and a bad diagnosis, but I just want to let you know, I don't know what happened, but somewhere between when you left here and you came back, that aneurysm has disappeared. There is no aneurysm in your stomach. I was preaching in Ilsley, Kentucky, and I think I was preaching this message. I don't preach a lot of repeats, but I don't have a problem preaching about faith. There was a young man, he was 8 years old. I was standing out in the aisle. And sis, he was standing right here and he had a cast on his arm. And I looked at him, I said, young man, I believe the Lord can heal you tonight. Kind of shook his head. I said, no, what's your name? He said, my name's Lucas. He's 8 years old. His daddy says, hey, it was on a Wednesday night. His daddy says, hey, I want to let you know we're having surgery on this arm Friday, 3 days later. We're going to be having surgery. Because there is a 3-inch gap between his arm and his wrist. He's broke it off so bad. There is a 3-inch gap between his wrist and his arm. I looked, I said, Lucas, I believe God's going to do this to build your faith for the rest of your life. I'm going to say no surgery. We laid hands on him that night and said, God, bring your miraculous power into this place. God, not later. We don't have time for down the road, but I believe you can do it right now. We laid hands on him. Friday morning came. They took him to the doctor's office. They put the IV in. I was looking on Facebook because I knew God was going to do it. They had his IV in and his parents took a picture of him almost about out because the medicine was about to kick in. And I looked at my wife. I said, Cindy, I still believe God's going to do it. We were in that hotel room getting ready to preach that next night. And I said, we're going to pray and we're going to claim it one more time. And I stopped and I said, God, this young boy's 8 years old. Oh, Lord, I don't want him to be a generation that just hears about miracles and never sees it. God, if you can touch this young man, he'll remember it for the rest of his life. Oh, and I want to tell you, they had the IV in and the dad said, hey, doctor, I want you to take a second x-ray. And they took a second x-ray and the bone had grown 3 inches. That's a miracle. That's not just a healing. That Friday night came. Man, church was bumping and jumping. And everybody was excited because old Lucas was over there worshiping. And he wasn't even supposed to be at church. But there was no surgery. So he was able to make it to church. And I gave the altar call that night. I said, if anybody wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to come to the front. Two people came up. Probably had 400 people in that. It was a youth, big, huge youth night. Only two people came. I said, all right, God, I know there's more people here, but we want to see you do something. We laid hands on them. They received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And one of them young men began to shout all over the place. He came to me after service. He said, Brother Fish, said, I got to tell you what happened. I said, man, there's no denying what happened. I saw you speak with tongues. I saw you do the Holy Ghost jig all around this front.
I know you got the Holy Ghost.
He said, no. He said, when I walked into this place, I could barely move.
He said, what you didn't know, it's 2 months ago and I was in a severe car wreck and I fractured from the top of my neck all the way down to my tailbone. He said, I should have been walking with a cane. Just an 18-year-old kid. I should have been walking with a cane. I barely just walked in here. I said, man, it sure didn't hold you back when you received the Holy Ghost, did it? He said, no. He said, when God filled me, I felt this heat hit me on the top of my neck and it went all the way down my back. And that fracture, I want to tell you, I'm 100% healed. I stopped. I said, sir, listen to me, young man. That's not a healing. That's what you call a miracle, because that was instantaneous. I want to tell somebody in this building, I don't know what your need is. I don't know what your situation is, but I believe the miracle worker is in the building today. It's what I want us to do.
If you need a miracle today, I want you to come and line up around this side of the platform. On this side, please. Hey, feel like the Lord's about to do something in this place. Come on, let's line up as shoulder as we can. I want to be able to get everybody in here so the ministry can anoint you. Hallelujah.
If you have never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you would like to receive that, I ask that you come and stand over here. You don't have to be afraid. Young men, young ladies, young people, elders, middle-aged, married, whoever you are, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't care if you've been seeking for it 10,000 times. Our God is a God of right now. Hey. Everybody up here have the Holy Ghost? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I want you to wave your hand. If you don't have it and you want it. Okay. It's miracle working day then. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else need a miracle? You need a touch in your body. You need deliverance from depression. You need deliverance from anxiety. You need deliverance from confusion. Whatever it is, I want you to come line up across this front. Hey, hallelujah. Satan, you're a liar. Oh, I wish somebody, this is what we're going to do. For 30 seconds, I want you to lift up a praise to him. Hallelujah. Don't repent. Don't say I'm sorry. This is what I want you to do. Magnify God. Make your God big in this room. Oh, God, you're so big. God, you're bigger than my problem. Whatever that situation is, I want you to tell him, God, you're bigger than cancer. God, you're bigger than depression. God, you're bigger than anxiety. God, you're bigger than everything that's going on in my world. Come on now, faith. Somebody resurrect your now, faith. Come on, you're going to have to think different. Come on, you're going to have to pray different. We're not praying for one day. We're praying for right now. Hey, hallelujah. That's what we're going to do. We're going to put some oil. We're going to anoint everybody on the front right here. We're going to anoint everybody up here. I'm going to speak the word of faith. And when I do, shackles are going to begin to fall off. Sicknesses are going to let go today. Diseases are going to let go today. Hey, 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 hey. Hallelujah. 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 He on the bohosa. Hey, I'm going to ask everybody, are you ready? All right, I'm going to pray the word of faith. And you don't have to have, everybody look at me. You don't have to have your pastor or a minister to lay hands on you to get your healing. The Bible said that the woman with the issue touched him. I don't have to touch you. You just have to touch him. Whatever you got to do to touch him, I don't care if you got to shout, if you got to run, if you got to cast down certain thoughts in your mind. Hey, if you got to do a Holy Ghost jig, whatever it is, it doesn't matter to me. I believe the Lord wants to set you free today if you will touch him. All right, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. And when I say in Jesus' name, I want everybody in this building to lift your hands, touch him, and receive your miracle. If there's a doubt in your mind that say, I can't get it today, repent of that mess and get it out. As I'm praying, empty yourself of yourself. Empty yourself of every negative thought, of every doubt, and God's going to do the work. Are you ready? Jesus, right now, by the authority of the Word of God.